I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke. And this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 2nd on The Memo, and we're back again. I'm Derek Russell. Joining me today is our producer, Chris Kiefer. Brad Locke is still out this week. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing good, Derek. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. Like you had a choice.
Yeah. We had promoed on Monday that we'd have Lauren Wooden here, but Lauren, who's a photographer at the Journal, had some photo assignments, so stuck with me again. Maybe you'll have Lauren on Thursday. Brad will be back next week.
What we do have for you today, in addition to a lot of news, first up is our law enforcement reporter and stand-in city reporter at the moment, William Moore. William, how are you doing?
Doing great.
William, I know there's another city council meeting last night, and an issue that's been brought up a lot has been what's going to happen with the Mississippi state flag at Tupelo City Hall. They've had a lot of people speaking about it, and happened again last night, didn't it?
Yes, this is the third time in about 2 months that someone or groups of people have spoken before the city council. The majority of the people who have spoken have been against the state flag. I only had two people in support of the state flag. Last night, we had four prominent members from the black community all speaking against the state flag, and as a whole, they were actually calling for Tupelo to, you know, help direct the state towards redesigning the flag, and, you know, in addition to just pulling down the state flag.
Sort of Tupelo taking a leadership, lobbying position almost toward the state legislature.
That's correct. So far, from around the state, several communities have pulled down the state flag, but no one has really come forward and said, all right, well, we need to go push forward for a redesign. Tupelo, the city council, is waiting for an attorney general's opinion, trying to see whether or not they actually have the authority to not fly the flag. So as for, you know, whether or not a flag flies in front of city buildings, you know, that's something that's going to be decided later. But the city council in a work session has discussed the issue sort of, and they seem to be more in favor of drafting a resolution to call for the governor or the lieutenant governor to bring this up at the next legislative session in January.
And stating their position.
And stating their position that it should be a flag that more fully recognizes all the people, brings everybody together under one flag, instead of having something that some people say is divisive.
Who spoke last night?
Last night we had Attorney Kenneth Mayfield, Reverend Robert Jameson, Bishop C.L. Parks, and Reverend Chris Traylor, who is also the president of the Lee County chapter of the NAACP. All of them spoke in favor of removing the flag, and also most of them mentioned the fact that they would be in favor of redesigning the flag so that it would better represent the people of Mississippi.
Six speakers now over three different meetings on this issue. Kind of summarize what have been the points on both sides.
Been fairly simple. We've had six speakers. No, actually, we had eight speakers. Six have been against. Only two have been in support of the current state flag. And the ones in support were basically using the argument that, you know, it reflects the state because we had an election, a statewide referendum back in 2001, and the people spoke out that that's what they want. The folks on the other side, you know, are saying that since the state flag does contain the Confederate battle flag in the upper left corner of our state flag, there is a good bit of negativity attached to that emblem, and they just want that part removed.
William, do you have any indication on when that attorney general's opinion might come?
The city attorney, Ben Logan, sent a letter to Attorney General Jim Hood about 2 weeks ago, and they say that normally it takes anywhere from 30 to 45 days for the Attorney General to get back, because they don't want just a opinion. They want something in writing to show whether or not or which way they can go. So I mean, they're thinking it could be another 2 weeks to a month before they get anything concrete from the Attorney General's office.
Other cities have already removed the flag without getting a similar statement. Do you know, are there other cities that have gone along with Tupelo and requesting a statement, sort of a group request that you know of?
No, Tupelo's the only one. Most of the other ones look at the different wording and say that the way they understand it, they believe that this is the city's discretion. The city can fly the flag if they want to, but they don't have to. Tupelo just wants to make sure. I think part of that is the fact that the current mayor is also an attorney. He wants to make sure that all the bases are covered before he moves forward, just to avoid any potential lawsuits down the road.
Do you have a feeling for what may happen if the attorney general says it's okay to remove the flag?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the attorney general, when they hand down a decision, it's going to be that it's saying that it's at the discretion of the city or the county government whether or not they want to fly the state flag in front of publicly owned buildings and parks and other structures.
And then you think Tupelo would then take it down, or it's hard to say?
I'm thinking that Tupelo then would go ahead and take it down. And like I said, and then call for the legislature to bring this issue up again. But, I mean, that's probably going to be a moot point, because the governor and lieutenant governor have already said that we had a referendum in 2001, the issue's over.
Yeah, at least until January, I guess, when the legislature's in session, and then you never know what comes out then.
Correct.
How many towns are we at now that have pulled it?
Statewide, it's about a dozen.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, thank you, William. I appreciate it, and it'll be interesting to continue to follow the issue that keeps on going and see what happens next. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Up next, we have Daily Journal religion reporter Riley Manning to tell us about this year's Tupelo Reads event. How you doing today, Riley?
Pretty good, Chris. How y'all doing? This is the fifth year for Tupelo's Tupelo Reads event. The book for this year is called The Tilted World, and it's by Tom Franklin and Beth Ann Finley, who are both really amazing writers who live in Oxford. Beth Ann writes mostly poetry, but Tom is a novel and fiction writer, so it'll be interesting to see that collaboration in the book. I was talking to Tom about this book when they announced it, and he was kind of talking about the process of the book follows two people who sort of like deal with the flood of 1927, and there's plenty of action in the book, but it's got a love story component too, and so the book is told from in alternating chapters, one from the point of view of each character, a male and a female character. And so they initially started out, Tom was going to write all his chapters, and then Beth Ann was going to write all of her chapters. And Tom was like, she went right in and got hers done, and I was still in like the second chapter of mine. So, but when they started working together, like collaboratively, it sort of came alive for them. So I'll be eager to read it.
Tell us about what kind of events they have this year.
Sure. So as in the past, the Lee County Library is going to host Tom and Beth Ann at their Lunching with Books at the library, and that's Wednesday, September 23rd at 11:30 a.m. Admission to that is free. You can pick up the book at the bookstore at Reed's.
And so that'll be the two of them just speaking by the book, taking questions, giving more information.
Right. Last year was the first year they were able to get the author to come talk about the book, and that was Winston Groom with Forrest Gump. And that was a really cool side of it, and I think this year will be just as good. You know, two Mississippi writers right up the road, so I'm glad that the committee sourced locally this time. I think that's pretty cool.
You mentioned this is the fifth year for Tupelo Reads. Why do they do this event every year? Why has it caught on? What's made this so popular?
You know, Tom said something when they released the book about bringing books back into the normal kind of like coffee pot, meeting at the mailbox conversation. I think that holds true. Lots of stuff you read as a kid, like you know, maybe Tuesdays with Maury, that was the first Tupelo Reads book, or you know, Forrest Gump. But then when you read it when you're older, you see, like in the case of Forrest Gump, you see all the history in it and all the stuff going on in the background too. And I think The Tilted World will really facilitate that, because it is a story about Mississippi and about like a true historical event. The only other event involved with it is a function at the Charlie Watson's Ice House at the Silver Moon Club in Tupelo. They're going to have Dr. Alfonso Sanders, who's kind of a world-class saxophonist based out of the Delta. and Eddie Mack Morgan Jr., who's the executive vice president on the Delta Council. That's going to be the day after the Lunching with Books, so Thursday, September 24th. But that's tickets only, and from what I understand, all those tickets have already sold out.
This is Jack Reed Jr. And Lisa Reed that have really spearheaded this through the years. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I guess a lot of it, I mean, I'm remembering it maybe coming out of when Jack was mayor and he had the Task Force for Education, and I guess a lot of this was is just kind of looking at promoting literacy more in the community. Have you kind of talked about that a little bit at some of the pre-events that you've covered?
Yeah, definitely. You know, especially with its involvement with school-aged kids. I know with Forrest Gump, there was a lot of involvement with the Boys and Girls Club and getting them to do kind of activities around the book. And, you know, Forrest Gump is a favorite for many reasons. So I think that opportunity always kind of presents itself with this program. And then, you know, I have a list of a to-read list that's a mile long, and I'm sure lots of people have too, but this is really kind of more motivation to sit down and engage with a book and you know, to be able to take part in that kind of commonplace conversation about it.
Why do you think they picked this book this year?
Well, it's the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, so it probably kind of fit that, you know, that sentiment. Every year the book seems to get a little more adult, I guess I would say. You know, there's lots of things in Forrest Gump, especially in the book, that's not in the movie, that's just a tad risque. And I think The Tilted World is kind of takes an unflinching look probably at the flood of 1927.
Thank you very much, Riley. Appreciate you joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
All right, from one pastime to another reading, we're going to the fair, and to talk about that, we've got Zach Orsborn here with us, our general assignment reporter. Zach, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
So the fair is coming to town starting tomorrow. It's September, and it means it's that time of year again. Tupelo Fair takes place at the Bancorp South Arena outside, although inside would be cool.
I don't think the Ferris wheel would fit or anything else.
But tell us a little bit about this year's activities.
Well, this year they'll have more rides than usual, so that's always a plus. And there will be camel rides if you're into camels.
That's what everybody's been asking for, is the camel rides.
And they have an exotic tiger show. I think I saw an exotic bird. I'm not sure which one, but I heard it squawking.
You heard it squawk, yeah. Okay.
And the weather should be a lot better than last year. He said that Philip Downing, the president of Fair Nation, which kind of runs the fair, he said it rained the whole time.
It did rain. We went out there last year, and it did rain. One thing I think is interesting this year, of course, and they may have done it last year, I just can't remember. I'm too old for this. Staying up until midnight on Saturday and Sunday night before Labor Day.
Yeah, they're staying open pretty late. Every day has a different time schedule, so you can go to TupeloFair.com to see when the fair will be open and when it closes. And it will be open Monday on Labor Day, too.
Yeah, so, and that'll be the last day. So it's running Thursday through Monday. Mm-hmm. I think it's $9 admission for adults, $5 for kids, five to twelve.
Yeah,
and below four and under free, if I remember this correctly.
And you can get a 50% discount if on admission if you order online, but you have to do it before the fair opens.
Before
you can't
Thursday.
Do it during the fair or anything.
Gotcha.
And so TupeloFair.com is where you can
That would be an act now scenario.
Yeah.
I'll ask this too, and just hearing that the different price ranges and as someone who's got, as does Derek, two younger kids, are there a lot of rides for, and you may be able to answer this, Derek, since you went last year, are there a lot of rides for kids that are four and under, or is it mostly for older kids?
Wesley was able to do a good amount of things, I think, yeah. I mean, there's a lot for above that height level as well. And Zach may know more what's coming this year, but just speaking from last year.
It'll be pretty even. They added more rides to kind of cover their demographic of all ages. And there, of course, there'll be food, funnel cakes, candied apples, fried Twinkies, which I'm excited about.
Can't beat the fried Twinkies.
No. They're the best. I saw a Gravitron there, though, which is my favorite ride to do.
The Gravitron.
And I think there's a thing called like a Mega Drop, which is for the older for the older demographic. But
all right, well, do not miss the fair at the Bancorp South Arena opening Thursday, running through Monday. I think there's also a $20 or $30 ultimate band of some kind.
I think so. They're also having karaoke competition every night.
There you go, karaoke competition. If you didn't have a reason to get out there already, now you've got the ultimate reason.
You can win $100 too.
$100 just for singing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing easy. Are you gonna do it?
I don't know about that.
Is it too late? Is it too late to enter?
I think you just go up there. You don't have to really.
Chris Kiefer's gonna show off his skills with. Yeah. Sunshine of my life.
Look at it.
Zach Ford, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Jenna Parsons, our resident food expert here with us this morning. Jenna, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I enjoy reading all the interesting things you come across in Cook of the Weeks and in your different columns and recipes, but this one we teased last week has got me very interested, and since you've made a batch now, I have to ask about the margarita ice cream.
The margarita ice cream was good. It was really easy to make. After I got the fresh lime juice, it took maybe 5 minutes to put together. The directions in the recipe did not tell whether to use. I used a KitchenAid to mix it up, and it didn't say whether to use a paddle or the whip. And so I started with the paddle, and nothing was happening, and I thought I had ruined it. So then I put the whip whisk on, and it whipped up nicely. So there's a tip of which one to use. And it froze overnight. I had a little taste of it. Ice cream's not really my thing, but Charlie, my husband, had a big bowl last night and said it was good. The nice thing about this recipe is that it's a no-churn, so you don't have to have the ice cream ready in the freezer. You just put it together and...
And go from there.
Wait overnight.
But it got the Charlie seal of approval.
It
so
did.
That's
it did.
The good thing. Now, this came from your cook of the week.
It did, Michelle Beach. And she's only been in Tupelo for a couple of years. And she brought with her a lot of Southwestern recipes. She likes to cook Mexican food.
Tell me, for the margarita ice cream, how strong is the flavor? How does that come out?
Actually, when I tasted hers, I could taste the tequila and the triple sec. It really tasted like a margarita, but not boozy. But when I made it, I didn't taste the alcohol. Charlie said he did, but I don't know that. I halved the recipe when I made it at home, and maybe I didn't get the proportions just right. It tasted... more limey to me and very creamy.
In addition to Jenna's Cook of the Week and Margaret Ice Cream today, you also had a story on South's new chef restaurant here in town.
Yes, Nick. Very nice man, very knowledgeable, very tall. I would say about six foot eight. And to be such a big man, he is just a big, shy teddy bear. I had to really pull stuff out of him. He didn't like talking about himself. And he gave God all the glory for the talent that he has. And his mother. I didn't mention much of his mother in the story, but that's where he really got his start. He said he grew up knowing what cast iron skillets were.
So he's been at South since about April, is that right?
Since April of this year, just kind of starting small, tweaking recipes. He started with sauces and has moved on to a couple of things. He's been trying out some specials on customers, and the things that have gone well, they will add to their new menu in September when they roll that out kind of seasonal.
And I have to ask about this end-of-summer pasta as well.
That came from a coupon. I got a coupon from Kroger for this free pasta, and I'd never heard of it, never tried it, didn't even know where to find it in the grocery store, but found it and got it home. And usually when we do a refrigerated pasta like that, we put it with a red sauce, mm-hmm. and it comes together very quickly. But we had just had meatball subs the night before with the red sauce, and we didn't want red sauce again. So I just went in the kitchen and looked and saw what I had and had some end-of-the-summer tomatoes and basil and made a little white sauce and put it all together.
Went from there. All right. And that's in your column today in today's food section of your Daily Journal, as well as your interview with Nick Rice from South and the margarita. Is the margarita ice cream recipe
available? It is that, and she gave two more ice creams, a peaches and cream, and strangely, a banana pineapple, which she said works. The textures work well with each other, she said. It's always popular when she makes it.
Okay, so find those today in your daily journal. Jenna Parsons, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, another day full of lots of news between Tupelo Reeds and the fair, flag controversy. Plenty of stuff going on, as always.
A little happier than Monday.
A little happier than Monday, thankfully.
Got some things to look forward to.
It's always good as reporters when we get to have some good news to report and not just the bad. But we'll be back again tomorrow, hopefully with some more good news for you. Possibly Chris here, possibly not Chris here.
Yeah, possibly Lauren Wood if her schedule allows. And if not, you'll be stuck with me again. And either way, the pressure's on me to try to come up with some good things to talk about.
Regardless, we'll have the melodious tones of Brad Locke back with you next week. So don't feel totally cheated without him. He's more enjoyable than anybody else in the room is.
I know I've come back from spending a week with a newborn baby. So
yeah, he'll be glad. I noticed he posted a very terrible pun on Twitter or Facebook yesterday, and I was like, yeah, he needs to come back to work. He's obviously bored. Got too much time on his hands. So we miss you, Brad, but we're looking forward to having you back. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo on the Twitter, and also at DJournalNow, Daily Journal's official Twitter account. And DJournal.com is our home on the internet. Chris is on the Twitter at Chris Kiefer, I as well at W. Derek Russell. And we will see you again on Thursday.